am he as you are, he as you are me, and we are all together. See how they run like things from a gun, see how they fly. I'm flying.
Hey, good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and opening up tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Marjorie Lyons Playhouse on the campus of Centenary College. Stage Center presents A Steady Rain, a play by Keith Huff, directed and designed here by Jared Watson, and starring Logan Sledge and Blaine Weaver. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios are Logan Sledge and Blaine Weaver, and they're going to fill us in on the details of this play. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
Happy to be here.
So, this is a structured play. It's a two-man play. Let's go through the structure of the play a little bit so people, you know, can understand what they're going to see.
Yeah. It really is. One of the things I like about the play is that it is this kind of unique brand of storytelling, that includes soliloquy, really, rather than monologue, because they are breaking the fourth wall and talking to the audience. So it's that kind of open, shared storytelling, and then they will pop right into a scene with each other. So it's, you know, more traditional, conventional dialogue, and it goes really in and out of that throughout the whole play.
Yeah, I've never seen a play like this, which is very exciting. You know, Logan and I never leave the stage. There isn't an intermission. It's a 90-minute show. We just kind of tear through them. Basically, we're telling this story to the audience. And when it's easier just to explain it, that's what happens. Right. When it's easier to show it, we do that. And it's such a weird and interesting juxtaposition, because we are blue-collar beat cops in Chicago doing this kind of almost Shakespearean style of soliloquy and, you know, conversation. But it's a really interesting play, and I think people will really respond to it. It's very much in your face, Scorsese style dialogue, a lot of cussing, but it's really fun and an interesting way to do theater.
And you know, the play itself is really about dark subject matter, but through it there's some humanity illuminated. Let's get into the two characters first. Tell me about Joey. Who is Joey, and what's his shtick?
His shtick. I mean, Joey is again, you know, partners with Denny. They've been, they're lifelong friends. So they've come up together. I mean, there's so much of Joey, I think, is defined by his relationship with Denny. Because he sort of plays off of where Denny is. You know, he defers to Denny on so much. He cleans, he doesn't really clean up after Denny, but he has to sort of manage Denny at moments. And I think you get a sense of that. There's anxiety about that, you know. If you the person that you're with 99% of the time, you know, I practically live at their house because of my own issues, and so you're with that, you're spending so much time with that person, but you're also constantly sort of walking on eggshells and tap dancing around things and sort of trying to manage them. So I think that takes its toll. It's certainly the accumulation of that is something that I've been, you know, playing with in the interpretation anyway.
So not to steal from great literature, you're living with a cat on a hot tin roof, basically.
Reference, yeah.
Yeah, that you know, when you say dancing around, that's what I get. And Joey's issue, or one of his issues, is he's single, he's lonely, and he likes the bottle.
He struggles with that, and that's the other kind of, you know, interesting thing about this relationship, is that there is a debt of gratitude, you know, owed to Denny.
Yeah.
Because Joey's well aware. He has lifted me up out of this darkness. He has done amazing things for me, and Joey knows that. So that's thrown into the mix as well. You know, which creates all this wonderful complexity, which is, you know, as you're dealing with a living, breathing human being,
right?
That's what it is. Now, these guys are not cliched in any way, shape, or form.
They're not all bad. They're not all good. Right. They're human beings with a really very complex mix of character traits, character flaws, and character strength. So Denny is a married man with kids, but not necessarily the most faithful of spouses.
Well, Denny's got a lot of problems. You know, he's a bit of a bully. He's certainly a blowhard. You know, these two guys grew up together, and their relationship is often defined by the fact that Denny used to beat up Joey when they were growing up just to pass the time.
Okay.
He lacks an empathy. You know, I think that Joey is definitely his Jiminy Cricket sitting on his shoulder, you know, all the time. And he's got many flaws, but he truly loves his family. He truly loves his partner. And it's just he doesn't really know how to express that. And, you know, there's a slippery slope in this, you know, moral life that he's living where I don't believe it started out this way, but by the time we meet Denny, he's got very few rules that he follows. He's certainly not politically correct in any way. He's a bully, and he's helped his buddy Joey get out from under the bottle, and there's that he owes me. I'm the more together guy, which is crazy. But I really believe that I've got it together. I got this wife. I got these kids. I got a house, you know. And poor Joey here, he's got a lot to learn from me when in many ways it's the opposite.
Right. So you've got the American dream, so to speak. But for you, it's in a way not the dream that you really wanted, or you just don't know how to express your gratitude for.
Yeah. I think it's all those things. And I think, you know, in this job, he has gotten into this position of a bully, of, you know, setting his own rules because nobody's going to tell him no.
Right.
And he turns into a worse and worse person the more that power, you know, is something that he feels he's owed.
You just really, really touched on something there, which is that abuse of power. I mean, you've got this, you know, officer of the law who, you know, has this God complex in a way of he can do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
And deserves to be able to because of all the things that he's done for, you know, his community.
Right. So slippery slope there.
Making this city a safe and more secure place to live.
There you go. Now, as the plot develops, their friendship is put to a test. Can you talk about a little bit about the plot and what really the catalyst for this test is?
I think I would say that the catalyst is the serial killer aspect, which really, you know, this is the play is set in the 90s, and it's not based in fact, but it has this one interesting thing about the Dahmer case. And this is a real thing that happened. Is it Jeffrey Dahmer? I can't remember. Jeffrey Dahmer is a serial killer, and these two beat cops came along this young kid who looked drugged and was confused, and all of these people in the neighborhood were watching this kid, and the cops come to try to help the kid, and then Jeffrey Dahmer came out and said, "Oh, I'm his uncle. It's fine. Let him go with me." So despite all the people standing around saying that the cops were not doing their job, the cops let the kid go, and the kid ended up dead. So this hit the news in real life and in our play, and suddenly these two beat cops, who normally, you know, can get away with murder, are right in the spotlight of the news and the media, and their careers are on the line.
And internal affairs.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And that's where the rubber meets the road with both of them as they start kind of giving various details that don't coincide, I presume, with what really happened.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of trouble, they each start digging.
Digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you're onto something there as far as that being the catalyst, because that's really what poses the threat and starts to fracture your world.
Right.
You know, Denny's world is now really under attack because we're suspended. We're suspended without pay. This is your means to provide for your family, which is your kind of main essential action in this play. Even backing up from that, though, things are beginning to spiral because of the shot through the window. You know, that's one of the earliest things that we talk about. Where, you know, we're out there and saying this crazy thing happened. You know, we're all hanging out in Denny's house, and all of a sudden the front window blows up. You know, and we learn. I don't think this is a crazy spoiler.
No, I don't think.
Yeah, we learn that it's it's this pimp that you know, that Denny's got this really, you know, bad relationship with, because, you know, he does favors for one of the prostitutes, and so they have this kind of back and forth going, and it seems to be escalating,
Yeah, and I all these bad choices, all these this God complex kind of thing that Denny can get away with anything. It's starting to come home to roost, and but that's the question: how long would he be able to hold this all together if he was able to hold on to his job?
Right. Yeah.
But once that's at threat, I mean, all bets are off, and that's when, in the second act, it really spirals out of control.
You start to see your own world unravel, and you unravel with it.
Right.
So one of the things we should point out for the listeners is that Denny does have a tendency to cheat on his wife. He may love his wife and his kids, but he's a powerful cop. He's the the alpha male, and he can go out and do anything else that he wants in his mindset.
Well, he does, certainly.
Yes, and that's what gets him in trouble with a pimp.
Yeah.
I read a couple of reviews on this, and Steve Oxman of Variety noted in his review that familiar characters, the good cop, the bad cop, are deepened into complex figures, compelling humans, even when they're at their most despicable. Let's dig into that aspect. These cops show their darkest, ugliest side, but where is the bright light? There's some humanity in there because nobody is 100%, well, at least I don't think anybody's 100% evil or good. It's how they react to the world that drags them in one direction or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great things about this format that the play takes, which is so unusual of us, speaking straight to the audience.
Right.
Sometimes we're lying to them. Sometimes we're just telling the story from our point of view. And like there are several times in the play where both Logan and I are telling the same story completely differently.
Yeah, right.
And so you really get an insight, whether it's to what the good inside them is or their own psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
You really get to track this relationship.
Right, and you have to sort of wrestle with yourself of who is... Or is there even a reliable narrator in this thing?
Right.
Can I trust one of these guys to be actually giving it to me straight? Which brings up some fun themes, about just what the absolute truth, where is it? It's somewhere in the middle. We got two different versions of the story. The truth, lies somewhere in the middle, probably. I think, Joey starts to turn when he kind of starts acting on his own impulses. I mean, Denny clearly acts on his impulses, and just does things, and Joey kind of starts to fall into that pattern as well. So that's it could be viewed as a negative thing. I mean, if on the face of it, he's in love with his best friend's wife, and then he acts on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a despicable thing to do. But at the same time, what I think one of the speeches that where Joey's talking about that, he says, I belong to them, and I'm starting to be under the impression that they actually belong to me now.
Mm-hmm.
That I have more of a right to this family than Denny does because of where he is, and how he's off the rails. So it presents some interesting things for the audience to kind of mull over and question.
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing as an actor as well, because again, as I mentioned, it's such a strange play where we never leave the stage. It's just the two of us, and we go through the entire arc of this friendship, from best friends, kids together, growing up in a Chicago neighborhood, to he's trying to steal my family from me, and I'm certainly acting outside the law in my own world. And it's such a great journey, and it's really interesting being on the stage and being like, all right, where are we now? What happened now? Do I know that yet? Oh, okay, I don't know that yet, but I'm going to know it in a few minutes. Of course, I'm not in my head at all during this play.
you can't be. It's one of those with just the two of us, like Blaine's talking about, where it forces you to be present, which you love as an actor, is a play that requires that of you.
Right.
And then also the connection with the audience, because you see them clear as day half the play. And you have to look out and talk to them and look in their eyes and communicate the story. It's not presentational. We're not presenting something. We are talking to people. And so that's nerve-wracking sometimes. You know, as an actor, you're used to being able to, that, you know, the audience is kind of plummeted in darkness.
Right.
You're lit up on the stage, and there's this very, very clear, you know, separation. But some of the moments in this play, it almost goes back to, you know, original, you know, practice with Shakespeare, where it's shared universal lighting. We're all lit up at the same time, and I can look out there and look right into your eyes and tell you this story. So it's fun and challenging.
Any other things you'd like to reveal about the characters of the play or the plot that you think will draw audiences in?
The setup of the play, the design, as it were, is very simple, but we have a very cool rain effect that I'm kind of excited about.
Right, right.
I'm just saying.
You get rained on, huh?
It happens, and it's a really cool design, and like, I've done a lot of theater, but I've never had, you know, rain on stage. I know Singing in the Rain and a couple of those shows do, but it's incredibly effective, and I just think it's very cool. It might be a spoiler of some kind, but I just think it's cool. I think people will really respond to it. I think, as a matter of fact, you know, it's one of those shows where we both were in A Few Good Men not too long ago, and one of the most feedback that I've gotten has been about what an interesting production it was in the way it was presented by Jared and Seth. You know, the design and the creative way that they had of coming in to it. This show has a lot of that too. It's very simple, but it's special. And I think it's the kind of thing, especially when you have an edgy play like this. Like, this isn't a big musical. You know, it's not something to bring the kids to. But, like, going and having an intellectual experience watching theater in your face, characters, and seeing something done in a way that it's not normally done, I think is really special. And I think people will be talking about it afterwards.
And the subject matter is really about coming to grips with yourself in a lot of ways.
So. Right. Yeah. It's also, you know, in terms of something to support the show, it's the first of hopefully many collaborations between Marjorie Lyons Playhouse, you know, on Centenary's campus, and Stage Center. So it's a coming together of these two groups to bring this property to life. You were mentioning The Rain. You know, that was our technical director at Centenary, Alan Berry. That was kind of his baby from the beginning. So, you know, he helped create The Rain Effect, and he's been the technical supervisor. I think billed as a co-producer on this thing, plus I'm also in it. So it's been a good partnership, and you know, I would say, you know, look out for other projects in the future.
So you'll be doing three performances this weekend. Can you tell us the show times and how folks can go about getting tickets?
Absolutely. So Friday night, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2. The show's at Marjorie Lyons Theater at Centenary. You can call 318-218-9978 or go to stagecenterla.com to get tickets.
All right.
But you should come and see it. It's going to be great, right?
I hope so. It better be.
We're in trouble if it's not.
Yeah, we can't really blame anybody else if it's not.
Yeah, you're kind of out on a limb on that one. So in the rain.
I could blame you, I suppose.
I will blame you. I've been doing that all week.
Logan and Blaine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, sir.
That was Blaine Weaver and Logan Sledge, who star in the upcoming production of A Steady Rain, produced by Stage Center under the direction of Jared Watson. This production opens this Friday, August 9th at 7:30 in the Marjorie Lyons Playhouse on the campus of Centenary College, with additional showtimes Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. For more information, visit online Stage Center at www.stagecenterla.com or 318-218-9978. That's 318-218-9978. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.